Man, listen, we need to seek things which are above, like it says in Colossians 3. Amen? Where Christ is sitting. Where Christ is right now at the right hand of God. Why? For we died, and Christ is our life. Amen? Oh, what a glorious word that is.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us. On the program today, Pastor Bill begins the final message from his study in the New Testament epistle of Ephesians. Pastor has titled today's message, Praying Always.
Turn to the book of Ephesians. We are in chapter 6. We are at verse 18, and this will be the last sermon. Can you believe that we have been in Ephesians for nearly 1 year? Isn't that amazing? But what an incredible study it's been. You know, this epistle is without a doubt the greatest writing in the history of mankind. It literally is. Matter of fact, let me just give you a few of what people have said about it as we conclude this great study today. It says that Ephesians has been called the greatest piece of writing in all history, the profoundest thing that has ever been written. It's the crown of Paul's writings. I believe that, and there's no doubt about it. What's wonderful to know is that Paul, writing from a Roman prison cell, penned this by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people, and I love them dearly and respect them highly, that when you come to verse 18, okay, they put an end to the armor of God. And they teach that there's only six pieces of armor. And I respect them. I love them. I certainly do not sit in judgment of any pastor, theologian, Bible college professor that believes that, because they stand on perfectly solid ground. But I always consider that there are seven pieces of armor, and prayer is one of them. Does that make sense? And the reason I say that, or I should say the reason that so many believe, pastors and so forth, that there's only six pieces of armor is because when we study out everything, Paul relates each piece to a particular part of the body, doesn't he? The helmet of salvation, you know, shod in your feet and so forth. But when we get to prayer, there's not a particular part that is mentioned about the body. However, that's wrong, because the Bible teaches us very clearly in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your what? Your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. So our whole being, everything that we are, we present unto the Lord. And so the Lord, here's my body. I give it unto you. I lay it upon your altar as a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. The Bible tells us also in 1 Corinthians 3:16, but do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, the temple, that word means naos. We are indeed the holy of holies of God. We're the temple of the living God. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, from whom you have from God? You're not your own, for you are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, praying in the Spirit is the greatest, one of the greatest weapons that we have. Loved one, prayer is absolutely vital. Did you have a prayer time this morning? Don't raise your hand. You're not going to get a star if you did, but we'll take an offering from you. No, it's a joke. Come on, lighten up. Second service, we're free. We're not like that first service. Come on, in bondage and religion. No, no, we're the happy bunch. No, listen. You know, did you have your prayer time? Did you go to the Lord in prayer? Because it says right here about spiritual warfare, and we are in a war. It starts off and it says, praying always. Now, we cannot walk worthy of our calling unless we fulfill verse 18, loved one. Remember what it means to walk worthy? The word worthy is a picture of a set of scales, okay? 5 pounds and 5 pounds. So you're You're balanced. Let's have it that way. You have a balanced walk. So the way to have a balanced walk in spiritual warfare or in your personal walk with the Lord Jesus is that you have to know doctrine. So you're equal in doctrine, and then you apply that doctrine. You hear God's word, and you do God's word. Amen? Now you have a balanced walk. And that's why verse 18 is so important. Because if we're going to stand against the wiles of the devil, we have to have verse 18 in our hearts. And here goes. It says, praying how much? There you go. You should underline that word. Praying always. Now that means that you are to stay. Really, don't you just pray during the day, little prayers, big prayers, and talk to the Lord? It just means that we stay in constant communication with our Father in heaven. And that's the best thing we can do. Amen? So it says praying always, and look at it now. It tells us to pray always, and it tells us with all kinds of prayer, supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and with all supplication for the saints. So here's the deal. A lot of people, especially believers, they get to verse 18 and they go, well, this almost is like an afterthought from the Apostle Paul. No, it's not. When he says praying always, no, he says, listen, we're in a real war. We have a real enemy. Or, let me back up. A real defeated enemy. Amen? That's right. And so here's the deal. You know, Satan, who is the god of this age, Satan, who it says in the Bible in 1 John 5:19, says, we know that we're of God, but the whole world, the world that is under the system of that Antichrist system, the whole world lies in the arms or the sway or the cradle of the wicked one, meaning the devil. We don't, the world does. Now here's the deal. Satan hates you. And Satan hates being defeated. And Satan doesn't want one prayer, little prayer, big prayer, quick prayer, doesn't matter. He doesn't want one prayer to God, the true and living God, in his territory. Does that make sense? See, this is his territory. We're citizens of heaven, loved one. This world is passing away and the lust therein. But so he says, no, the world. This is my world. He thinks it's his world. Let's put it that way. No, he's voted out. How's that sound? Now, no pun intended on that, by the way. No, the fact is, and I really meant no pun intended. It just came up. Help me, Lord. I'm with a mean bunch. Listen, you know, he doesn't want you to utter a prayer in your home. He doesn't want you to utter any prayers here. He doesn't want you to utter one prayer when you're driving to school or to work or whatever you do. This is his territory. He's the God of this age. And he'll do anything he can to prevent you from doing so. And sadly, you know it. I know it. Prayer, which is the most vital of all the things that we do, prayer, unfortunately, is the most neglected spiritual discipline of the life of the believer, isn't it? Come on. Did you have your quiet time this morning? Again, I'm not saying, you know, but in other words, it's neglected until you get in trouble. It's neglected until things start falling apart. Then you, oh God, I'm here. I know you're there, Lord, help me. No, then you start praying. Listen, prayer will always be the work. I've said that all these years here. I've said it so much and so often, I really believe that I coined that. Do you understand? I think it was E.M. Bounds that coined prayer is the work. I don't even remember. But as far as I'm concerned, it's mine now, okay? So prayer, it is the work. And that's how you get to the Lord. But see, Satan in his schemes, okay, what he tries to do is wear you out, wear you down, emotionally, spiritually, physically, any way he can, he wants to just tear you down. Especially he wants to make you exhausted. You know, and I'm going to tell you something. You know it and I know it. This pandemic can exhaust us. You know, we can, like, what's the coin now? It's called COVID fatigue. And that just doesn't mean you've had COVID and now you're exhausted. I understand that part of it. But I'm saying that it's just, you're tired of it. I'm tired of it. And we have to keep our focus on our Lord. Amen? To get through this. So, but the devil, what he does, he'll do anything he can to stop you from communicating with God, your Father, my Father, anything he can to prevent you from doing that. You know, he doesn't care if you talk about prayer. He doesn't care if you believe in prayer. He doesn't care how many books you read on prayer, as long as you're not really a person of prayer. Does that make sense? See, Satan is terrified of a believer that truly prays. Samuel Chadwick said this, "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray." Think about that. What kind of praying are we to do? It says all kinds of prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is simply speaking unto God, isn't it? That's it. It's communication. It's not a monologue. It is a dialogue. That's what prayer is. He speaks to us. We speak to him. Amen? So prayer is just simply speaking unto the Lord, but it says prayers and also supplications. What does supplications is pleading with God for, it's a specific thing, a specific request. You remember in Philippians 4:6, Paul writes and he says, "Be anxious for nothing." I like that word, don't you? That means don't let anything get you down. Nothing, no matter what it is. Be anxious, don't be torn apart for nothing. But in everything, by prayer, supplications, with thanksgiving, let your what? Requests be known unto God. Okay, that's what supplication is. It is a pleading. It is a specific request unto God our Father there at the throne of grace. And then intercession, remember, intercessory prayer is when we, the church, we get into the struggle in prayer for others. Now, Satan fears the throne of grace. I tell you, you need to never forget that. Satan fears the throne of grace. Why? For he knows who is there. Amen? In other words, Jesus, our Lord, the one who has all authority in heaven and upon this earth, Jesus, who's sitting at the right hand of God, who ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me. Loved one, listen, Satan, he hates the throne of grace. Why? Because Jesus defeated him. He defeated death. Amen? He defeated our sin. And he rose again, and he is seated at the right hand of God, and we ascended with him, it says in Ephesians 2:6. That is our position right now in heaven. Now listen, Satan will do anything, no matter what it is, to discourage you when it comes to your prayer time. He doesn't want you to go to the throne of grace. Matter of fact, he'll do anything in his power, if you do go to the throne of grace, to limit your time there. I mean, it's amazing how, you know, sometimes the Lord, he gets me up early. I don't want him to get me up early. I need my sleep, especially my beauty sleep, can you tell? You know? But you get up and you go in there and you're obedient and you pray and, you know, and who in the world would send a text at 3:00 in the morning? Do you understand? I'm going, and of course, you know, here you are, you're right in prayer. It's going great. No, the lights are all out. It's 3:00, 3:30. You know, everybody's sleeping in the world. And all of a sudden, ding, and you know you wouldn't go look at it. And I'm going, what moron did that? No. So, you know what I mean? See, he'll do anything to limit your time at the throne of grace. Why? Satan fears the throne of grace because he knows what is available at the throne of grace for every true believer in Christ Jesus. Amen? The Bible tells us, Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace." There's not one charge against you at the throne of grace, not the throne of judgment, the throne of grace. And it says, where we may obtain what? Number one, mercy. Number two, find grace to help in time of need. Think about that. It's right there. We are the only people on this earth that stand in the unmerited, undeserved, unconditional, divine favor of God for all eternity. Think about that. Oh, he doesn't want you to go there. He doesn't want you to obtain anything from the throne of grace. He knows everything that you need is right there. And he knows that God loves you so much, he sent his only begotten Son to die for your sins. Amen? So listen, we're the only people on earth that we have access to God the Father, and we have access without condemnation. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? No judgment. We can freely come into the throne of grace whenever we want to. We are the only people who can do so, and we can only come one way. We come in prayer and by one person. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews 10:19, therefore, brethren, having boldness, not in ourselves, boldness in our Lord, okay? Having boldness, and I love these two words, boldness to enter. Isn't that something? See, it's invisible, but we can go there. It's right there. We really do go to the throne of grace, okay? How do I know that? Let me read it again. Having boldness to enter the holiness, that's the tabernacle in heaven, that's the Holy of Holies, that's where the throne of grace is located, having boldness to enter the holiest, and here's how we go, by the blood of Jesus. Think about that. The one who died for you and me. The one that God punished, who had no sin for you and me. Now we come and we appropriate the things that we need now. We're in a spiritual battle. We go there and we appropriate what we need by faith. It belongs to you. Every blessing belongs to you in Christ Jesus. Amen? They're already ours, and you can go there and obtain them. All power that we need is there. Every resource is there. Man, listen, we need to seek things which are above, like it says in Colossians 3. Amen? Where Christ is sitting, where Christ is right now at the right hand of God. Why? For we died, and Christ is our life. Amen? Oh, what a glorious word that is. It says again, look at verse 18. It says, praying always, all kinds of prayer there, supplication. It says, in the Spirit. Now, Satan not only is terrified of the one who sits at the right hand of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, he not only is terrified of you going to the throne of grace because you know what you can obtain there, and every blessing is yours again, but Satan is terrified of Spirit-filled prayer. And a person who prays in the Spirit, let's stop right there. That doesn't mean praying in other tongues. Are y'all with me? Now, that's certainly available, but it doesn't matter whether the person is praying in their prayer language, okay, or if they're praying in their normal language, like I'm talking right now, as long as it's empowered by the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? Yeah, powerful praying, love. Well, no matter how you pray, if it's the Spirit's there, it's powerful. So he's terrified of that. And for you to be praying in the Spirit, number one, it means that you have a relationship or intimacy. You know who the Holy Spirit is. Number two, it means that you practice awareness because you know the Holy Spirit is not only in you, he has sealed you, but he is also alongside of you, and he has come upon you, as it says in Acts 1:8, and empowered you. Amen? So praying in the Spirit terrifies him. And here's the deal, though. Satan wants you so ignorant of the divine helper. He wants you, your thinking, he wants to control the way you think about the Holy Spirit. He wants you to look or think that the Holy Spirit, number one, is a force or an essence or a power, and he is powerful, okay, or an it, but no, or a language. No, the Holy Spirit, loved one, he is a person. You know, the Holy Spirit, yes, is a doctrine, okay, but if you treat the Holy Spirit as a doctrine, you don't know who he is. See, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is God, and he is here right now. Amen. No, he really is here, and he's up here with me. He'll never leave us, nor will he ever, ever forsake us. But more than that, the Holy Spirit does something. It says in Ephesians 2:18, for through him, meaning Jesus, we both, meaning Jew and Gentile, who have been made one new man, okay, have access, and that's a beautiful word, have access, meaning to the throne of grace, it says, by one Spirit to the Father. So when we think of praying in the Spirit, talking about spiritual warfare now, effective, fervent prayer is absolutely impossible without the Holy Spirit. No wonder Paul tells us, remember, if we went all the way back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be ye, being filled, that's a command, be ye being filled with the Spirit. We need the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that refilling each and every day of our life. We need the divine helper. Amen? Amen? There was no doubt about it. Why? Well, number one, the Christian life cannot be lived without the power of another, the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus told us in John 15:5, he says, without me, you can do nothing. We need the Lord. And more than that, in spiritual warfare, what did Paul tell us in verse 10? He says, finally, brethren, be strong in your strength. No, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But question, why does Paul here write and add in the Spirit? That's so vital and so important. And here's the deal, because I don't know about you, I'll just use me, because I don't know always how to pray for someone. I don't know how to pray through this pandemic sometimes. Does that make sense? You know, I don't know, I hear, you know, Judge Whitley, for example, he's begging every church in Tarrant County to close. And I'm going, oh God, I don't want to do that. Lord, do you understand what I'm saying? All these things. Praying. I say, Lord, they're getting ready to leave on Thanksgiving. Are they going to be safe? Are they going to really, I know these guys, they're going to not going to wear masks with their family. They're going to eat, they're going to hug, they're going to kiss, they're going to have a great time, and then I don't want them sick. Are y'all following me? I don't want you sick. I don't want you to be sick, ever. Loved one, listen, how do we pray? Oh, I thank God for the Holy Spirit because he helps me pray. He helps you to pray. Amen? I need a helper. I need the divine helper. Man, we are in a war because I don't always know how to pray. But he does because the Holy Spirit knows everything. Amen? The Bible says in Jude 20, it says, but you, it's personal, you. He says, beloved, building yourselves on your most holy faith. Now, the most holy faith is not your personal faith, okay? It is the most holy faith is the 66 books that we now possess, the Word of the living God. And he says, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. And then he says, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, to pray in the Holy Spirit means that you and I, we have the greatest prayer partner in the history of the universe. Amen? Think about that. And it's the Holy Spirit praying through us. It's not that he prays, he helps us to pray. Does that make sense? We're the one doing the praying. It says in Romans 8:26, likewise, Paul says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. You understand? I know I need to pray, but I just don't know how to pray or what to pray for that person or that individual or the church or whatever people are going through in their hearts and their marriages, their children. You see what I'm getting at? So it says, he helps us because we don't know how we should pray as we ought. It says, but the Spirit himself who lives in us, the Holy Spirit himself, makes intercessions for us. He makes intercessions. That means he pleads our cause before the throne of grace. That means that he throws his entire being into what we need and how we should pray. Thank God for that. And listen how the Holy Spirit helps us pray, and listen how the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. It says he does so with groanings which cannot be uttered. Too deep to understand. Too deep sometimes to even be spoken. The divine articulation of the Holy Spirit there at the throne of grace praying through you. That is unbelievable, but it's true. Spurgeon put it this way. He said, groanings which cannot be uttered are often prayers which cannot be refused. And then Paul continues in Romans 8 and he says, now God, who searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints. How is he making intercession for us? Listen carefully. According to the will of God. Not our will, but God's will for our life. Man, listen, I love that. The Holy Spirit, he's in us. He's helping us to pray. Listen, he creates the right kind of praying in us. It comes out of our mouth. Because he empowers us to pray it. Does that make sense?
Pastor Bill will conclude this message on tomorrow's program, so please join us for this final message from Pastor's Ephesians series. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the program with us, and we pray that you have a great day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.